Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Angel Kisses, a wonderful, beautifully illustrated children's picture story by Leilani Faber, began as a college class assignment in 1982. The exact manuscript followed her through many moves over 4 decades until it was found in a box in 2018. She finally found an illustrator, worked closely with them to create this delightful book. It's an uplifting story of a little girl, and now angels help her get through the challenges. From a very young age, Leilani wanted to be an author, and she knew it. She was a voracious reader from the age of 3, loved being transported to other realities within the pages of a book. She's also the author of Vision of Hope, Rebuilding a Life Destroyed by Drugs and Alcohol, also a second edition of that, and we've talked about that book before on This Week in America. Over the years, her work life has changed from fast food worker at the age of 15 to BetterHelp therapist at the age of 60. She lives very close to her family in Southeast Washington State, works as a clinical supervisor of a regional assertive community treatment program in Oregon. She does therapy nights and weekends on BetterHelp platform. We welcome back to This Week in America, Leilani Faber, author of Angel Kisses. Leilani, good to see you again. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here again.
Looking forward to talking about this book. You've done such a wonderful job with this book, Angel Kisses. Talk about where the idea came from for this book.
I think it goes back to even my children, you know, people being less than kind to red-haired, freckled-faced kids, you know, for either of those attributes. And I always had heard the term freckles being angel kisses. So that's where the idea came from. I'm like, it would be a nice to support, you know, the little kids to make them proud of their features and look at them in a different, more positive light.
Well, you've done that with the book Angel Kisses. It's available wherever books are sold. Send you to Amazon.com, urlinkpublishing.com, the usual places. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned sort of the background of this in the years, and it covers several decades from when you decided to write the story to actual publication. Why did it take so many years to turn Angel Kisses into a reality?
Well, first off, I had forgotten all about it. You know, you're in school and you put your assignments and things in boxes. And I had a big move to Washington State. And during that move, my sister was going through some boxes and found it and called me and read it to me. And I just cried because I had forgotten about it. And I was touched by what I had written. I'd forgotten about it. And I was excited when we found it and I was able to start working on publishing it.
I understand there was another piece that you actually published or got paid for before, actually with the same classes as Angel Kisses. Talk about that. This is not a one-off for you. You were very prolific at an early age writing.
Yes, that assignment was also part of a class. It was called Another Chance, kind of a sci-fi, surreal type of short story. That illustrated my dark side a little bit because the gentleman has a bad day and, you know, just wishes he could do the day over again. And it turns out worse. Kind of one of those, you know, Twilight Zone type of things. And I got a creative writing scholarship because of the stories and stuff I wrote in that creative writing class. And that was the first that I published in a literary magazine. Don't ask me the name of it. I can't remember now.
Well, the important thing is out of that also came Angel Kisses. This is the book that is receiving excellent reviews. You'll find it at Amazon, wherever books are sold. And a big part of this is you were able to work with an illustrator. The illustrations are really done in a strategic way. Talk about how you went about doing that, because they really enhance the story you're telling.
The people that I had contacted, I tried to find illustrators, my son, other people's sons and family who were artistic, but nobody was able to really do anything for me. And then I found a gentleman who works the front desk at my office down in Oregon was always doing these creative projects. And I asked him if he'd be interested in illustrating a children's book. And he was. It was quite the process. The strategic drawing part of it is that the little girl is only seen from the back through all of the book until the very end when you see her face. And my illustrator had problems with that, seeing her face, until I said, hey, think peanuts, think peppermint patty, you know, and he was like, oh, okay. That made it more simple in his mind. I think he was trying too hard with the details. And once we had that conversation, it all just came together.
How difficult is it to find an illustrator? So often you talk to authors and they really go through an extensive search. It sounds like yours wasn't in that category, but trying to find someone that's in the same mindset as you, that understands the message you're trying to convey in the book. How difficult is that? And how important is it? What's that moment like when you find someone, in this case, Matthew, and you realize that, bingo, we're on the same page here. He knows what I want to illustrate to get this message across. How important is that?
It's very important. And I did find there are places through this process. I learned about Fiverr, which is a where you can go and hire people to do things. But as difficult and as challenging as it was, like seeing my illustrator every day, going over things with him, conveying changes and what I'd like a little differently, I can't imagine doing that with someone online. I'm even like working on a screenplay for my other book and had hired it done, and I'm just rewriting the whole thing. I'm like, nobody has my vision.
And in some cases, when you're dealing with somebody, there's a language problem you're going through as well to try to understand, or a culture problem, somebody that's in a different country. So it's difficult to get those emotions conveyed so that they're reflected in the book. Our guest on the program is Leilani Faber. If you're Googling, that's L-E-I-L-A-N-I, and Faber is F-A-B-E-R. The book's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, urlinkpublishing.com, all of the usual places. I'll link out by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and the book is Angel Kisses. How long did it take you to write this book? Now, it was basically written before, so I guess the question should be, did you have to go back and do much to sort of update, freshen it up any?
Well, and you know, what's funny is I did do that. And I tweaked the language, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do contractions. I don't want, and it just was all wrong. So I went back and went to my original, and I realized you can write contractions in children's book. It's fine. So once I changed it back to the original, I was happy again with it. But poor Matthew, I had him writing the words in by hand, and rewriting. I said, just never mind, let's take all the words out, we'll type it, they can put it together with my manuscript, and it worked out well.
The reviews have been excellent for Angel Kisses. Talk about that and how gratifying that is to deliver this message in a way that's entertaining and impactful as well.
Well, it is very heartwarming and satisfying to have friends, family, people order the book and then like message me on Facebook and say, this book was so sweet, my granddaughters just love it, or my grandson loves it. And I actually took a copy over to a family that I was working with in my day job and gave it to her. She has five little kids. And the one little girl sat there and made me read it to her like five times. So I was like, you are my best promotion here.
Well, you mentioned your family. You've got, I think, three grandchildren, all young. What response did you get from them?
Oh, they loved it. I've got pictures of both of them, or both of the little girls reading the book. And it's cool. I mean, I'll cherish that, treasure that forever. They've all said, even I had a nephew that like is getting copies for his grandkids or his children. And It just feels good. It feels good because this book also has a really wide audience. So,
well, what's interesting is with so many children's books, this one in particular, the kids can read it. They can read it to the parent. The parent or grandparent can read it with them and have a discussion. This is really a great instrument, isn't it, to bring up a number of very important themes in their young lives.
Yes, and, you know, it's funny. I hadn't thought about it until someone said this is a, well, okay, actually, great story. I decided to try to track down my teacher from that class that I wrote in because yes. She was a children's book author and she writes children's plays. And I could not believe it. I found her on Facebook on a Saturday, sent her a message. She messaged me back. She emailed me. I emailed her some questions on Sunday and she responded. And she was so warm and giving and giving of advice about how to promote. And that was really nice.
What was it about reading at a very early age for you captured your attention? And obviously you've kept that enthusiasm over the years. What was about reading and that escape that that really turned you on to a life of reading and writing?
I don't know. I just loved reading and it is an escape. I had a little bit of a tumultuous childhood and books were my friend.
Yes.
So I learned early and taught my brother or my sister how to read. She's just a couple years younger than me. So that was me loving teaching as well as the reading part of it.
Is that anything you see with your grandchildren, with your relatives' grandchildren, maybe even in your day job, that books are not, I don't think, as common, or maybe I'm wrong, as they were when you and I were growing up and reading those? You've got the tablet that you deal with. You've got other distractions, and you sort of miss that quiet time where you just go take a book, a real book where you can turn the pages, go off in your room or go off in the corner of a room with other people and escape. Is that missing now?
You know, I think it is. And I think our children and young people, their imaginations suffer because of that. I have clients that I try to recommend books that are helpful. And, you know, some of my in-person clients recommend Vision of Hope because they're struggling with the same kind of issues, but maybe one in 10 is like, yeah, I like to read, I'll read it. And the rest are like, yeah, I don't read. And that's sad.
Tell me the story. I don't want to read. Just give me the story. You mentioned
right.
Vision of Hope, and we talked about that. This is just a drastic departure. That was your autobiography done on so many levels. It had to be very emotional for you to tell that story, but at the same time, helping people through so many people going through similar circumstances. And this being a light children's book with the, you know, the entertainment, but also themes that you discussed. What was that like making that transition back to writing a children's book?
Honestly, I just love writing, any kind of writing. I think I mentioned before, I'm working on a coffee table book called Colorful Colloquials. I've also started writing a kind of a psychological thriller, because that's kind of my background and what I love. Any kind of writing I enjoy. I was just interviewed by a newspaper about the book Angel Kisses, and I told her my degree's in professional writing and I had to take every kind of writing class they had. The one I dreaded and put off till last was journalism. That's the only kind that I kind of struggle to write, and I'm not sure why. It's probably a mental block in my head about, you know, it's too hard, it's formulaic, it's whatever. But back in the day, that was the only type of writing I didn't really enjoy.
Well, creatively, you can really tap into to so much of your talent in writing these books, the children's book, the Vision of Hope, and telling your story, all of the other projects you've got going on. You mentioned the screenplay too. You're very busy, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes. I've been called a workaholic that needs to stop it, slow down, by my children. So, like, I've always been this way. I don't know how. I said a 40-hour a week job with nothing after that would be like goofing off. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Well, obviously, it keeps you young. It keeps you creative. You are out there and doing all this and helping other people. A couple minutes left in the program. What do you hope the message is, the themes that will resonate, a takeaway for a young reader, a family member as well that's reading Angel Kisses? What do you hope the takeaway is?
I guess part of the takeaway, which it's funny, Sandy Asher, my teacher, said, you know, this is it has religious themes, and maybe you should, you know, look at Christian bookstores, things like that. And it's funny because I hadn't thought about that, but I'm like, yeah, angels, I mentioned God in it. But then also someone saying this is a self-esteem book. So what I would love is just that they love themselves more, the children who read it, they accept themselves more, and they understand that they're not alone.
How is promotion on this? You went through this with Vision of Hope, a little bit different audience that you're gearing this for here with this, but what's promotion like? We talk to authors about the writing process, the creative process, but then there's the business side of it, and then there's the promotional side of it. What are you doing, and what's this like to be out promoting Angel Kisses?
Yeah, I am going about this a little differently. I joined a couple associations, a Children's Book Writers Association, and then a Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association. I hope I'm not saying those wrong. I've also gone into bookstores and brought a book and say, hey, I'm from close by here. My author and I are locals. Would you be interested in carrying this book in the store? And they've been very open to it, which is nice. I keep missing a meeting with Barnes & Noble in my local town. They're either go on vacation or I do, but that is something that I want to do and ask if we could do a book signing. I did book signings for Vision of Hope. There's a small bookstore down in Hermiston that said they're starting a local writer section, and they would like me and Matthew and I to go in and sign books and talk to people. I'm trying to be more active and targeted with promotion right now. I'm working on my website, still having some glitches, getting some things on there, like this interview. I would like to put it on my website if I can, with a link, but I just need help with the logistics of that.
Well, there's so much to look forward to in what you've been able to do and accomplish with this book. It's an excellent job with Angel Kisses, and I understand the premise a couple decades ago. Are you working on another children's book? Would you like to do another one?
I guess if I'm inspired by some idea. I haven't had an idea about that. I'm really excited about getting the screenplay done and my psychological thriller, because I love reading that kind of work, and I'd like to be in that genre in a bigger way.
Well, you've said your goal is to travel the world, continue to provide therapy, and write psychological thrillers while gazing out of an Airbnb window at a gorgeous beach. I think we all would like to do that. Yeah. Talk about the writing process for you. I got a minute or so left here, and I'm sort of joking in saying that with the beach, but there's nothing more relaxing than being by water, being on a beach. What atmosphere do you like when you're writing?
It's got, it needs to be aesthetically pleasing. It needs to be clean. I tried to actually do this interview back on my back porch because it's a beautiful day, but my wind chimes, I think, might have interfered, so I decided to come in. They were kind of loud, a little bit of a breeze. It has to be clean, it has to be aesthetically pleasing, it has to be a calm environment, and that's where I can get in that space.
Well, and once you get there, you do an excellent job. This book is Angel Kisses, but what's the age group for this? Is there a target age group that you have?
Really, it says 6 to 12, but I've got younger you know, of course, reading to the younger ones, that works as well. My grandchildren are 2, almost 5, and 6. So, and they've all read it or had it read to them, and they enjoy it.
And I would think an adult maybe wouldn't necessarily sit down but to read it themselves, but to read it to a child would probably, this would open up some of their thinking as well, wouldn't it? It gives us sort of a different perspective, and sometimes we need this to find out what other people are going through, in particular what young people are going through.
Yes. I was really happy to hear it was like a self-esteem book, or found it in the self-esteem section, because I'm like, yeah, that's wonderful. That would be great if I can impact anyone's self-esteem in a positive way.
The book is Angel Kisses. Leilani Faber is our guest and the author. I'll spell that if you're Googling. That's L-E-I-L-A-N-I. And Faber is F-A-B as in boy, E-R. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places. Soon, Leilani's website, urlinkpublishing.com. And we'll have all that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Also, you'll find a copy, if you Google Vision of Hope, Rebuilding a Life Destroyed by Drugs and Alcohol, that book available as well. Leilani, it is always a pleasure. Keep writing, keep coming back on the program. Congratulations on the success for Angel Kisses, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome, and it's Angel Kisses. That's the book. It's available wherever books are sold. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.